previously on Three of Hearts. In a flashback, Bar had just thwarted criminals making use of a time-stopping relic called the Eye of Kronosava. His celebration was cut short when a fellow agent attempted to recruit Spar in his scheme to sell the relic to criminals. The buyers got the relic, but Spar prevented them from taking a gem that allows it to function. In the present, Velm spoke with the mysterious Merafina and made a deal to become her apprentice in exchange for information about the disappearances in Clovenheart. On their voyage to Cindershore, Tatiana tried and failed once again to steal Velm's blood, and reveals that she believes she was hired by Velm's uncle, Gray. The agents let her go once more, tasking her with learning more about the scheme. Just before arriving in Cindershore, Spar got a look at the venue where Diamond will be playing, and saw that the Eye of Kronosava has been built into the stonework. Shortly before the two of you arrive in Cindershore, Josepha has asked to chat with you. The real Josepha at this time, not Tati in disguise. You can be sure because Tati is tied to the mast. Well, there's not really a mast because it's not a sailboat.
I think I tied her to a railing.
Yeah. And yeah, Josepha has asked to talk to you privately and is having one of the boatmen hang out with Secatan while she chats with you. So she meets with you in like what's like, I don't know, like a captain's office. There's just like a desk, some ledgers on it. It says Captain Mitch, because I believe that's what we named the frogman who runs this ship.
Excellent.
And
I don't remember his name, but it's a beautiful name for him.
Pretty sure it was Mitch.
Okay. It is now.
Mm-hmm. It already was. Okay. Okay.
If it was something else, then Mitch is his other name.
Mm-hmm. Okay. His name is Mitch Mitchell Mitchison.
Mitch Flisley.
Okay.
Fly Mitchley.
I like that one.
Sorry.
I do too. No. Sorry. Don't be sorry for being right. Okay. Fuck. Where are we? Okay.
Got the giggles now.
We're in Fly Mitchley's office.
Uh-huh. Okay. So Josepha is sitting behind the desk, and there's like ledgers and stuff that look like they probably belong to Mitch, and then there's a big binder that Josepha is like has her hands on. And she says, "Well, thank you for coming. So there's something I just want to chat about before we get to Cindershore. Mostly with Velm, but..."
Velm interrupts her and says, "We come as a pair."
No.
Which is what Spar said back in like episode one or two.
Yeah, and Josepha says, that's what I figured, frankly. First of all, I just want to thank you two for helping with the whole Kurt situation. Over the last couple of years, I've spent some time with the boy, and, you know, he's become a little bit of a little brother to me. So I appreciate Z since you have helped him. I know since we're keeping it on the down low, which is why I'm having this conversation here, but Anya had me check on him to make sure everything is well.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, I have, well, a lot of gratitude. Also a small request.
A favor?
Yes, it's, but I think it's a matter to benefit everyone. So, before the two of you came into town, until very recently, I do not know where they wandered off to. There was a scientist named Max, and they were working on this radio tower that they said would collect data on magic, and that would help us understand, you know, a way to reintroduce magic to the world.
Did they try to see if Clovenheart would want a radio tower?
We were in the middle of developing a proposal for this, but the thing is, and the reason that Clovenheart would be ideal for this, they said, is that Clovenheart's wards prevent the radio signals from leaving or coming into Clovenheart. So this radio tower could not be used as an actual radio tower, which means that no one can intercept the data. Because while I think Zwie thinks that reintroducing magic to the world could be a good idea, we think that it should be done very carefully, if it is done at all, if it's even possible. I was deeply involved in the world of medical magic before all of this happened, before magic went away and everything. And most healing magic can really only heal surface things. You know, long-term ailments or more serious things can only be really helped with biomancy, which obviously has problematic side effects. So the thought was that, well, I had developed a spell that was testing very well that would actually help with more serious things, the severe, you know, chronic ailments and lasting injuries. But then, lots of things happened that were very unfortunate, and that spell never got to see the light of day, and of course it can't now, unless it can. So I was thinking, like, if we could get that tower built, Clovenheart could be a healing center for those who seriously need it, without the risk of side effects through biomancy.
If there were people that needed some serious biomancy, but were not originally invited into Clovenheart, you would need to be able to tell if you could trust them to let them into Clovenheart, or find another way to...
Or we could make a house call.
Okay. Vellum is going to fish into his briefcase for the plans that Gray gave him. Mm-hmm. And pull them out and show them to Josepha.
What is that? How did you get that? That is the same.
My uncle gave this to me. He had a similar thought. I hadn't brought it up because I'm an outsider into Clovenheart, and I didn't want, you know, to come off like I knew what was best for Clovenheart or...
Sure, and that was Max's thinking as well. And interestingly, Max says as they came up with these schematics, maybe they were a collaborator with your uncle? I don't know the details.
To my knowledge, Uncle Gray hasn't collaborated with anyone named Max. The name is not familiar.
Josepha's like peering over the documents and like, well, this is a miracle of parallel thinking, Agent Vellum, because this is almost identical. This looks a little more streamlined, actually, like maybe someone improved upon the design. But anyhow, Max has vanished, which is a little alarming, but, you know, Zayt never said that their stay would be permanent, but I thought I would at least get a goodbye, but no. Here's the thing, though, is that I do not tinker anymore. I do not have a problem giving guidance and insight, but the act of construction can be a little triggering for me, for lack of a better term. And that's why I'm coming to you, Vellum, is that if the two of you think this is an idea that could be good, then I would very much like to pursue this.
I think that it could be used in a positive way. I merely worry for if it were used in a way that might bring harm or suspicion to Clovenheart.
Right, but we wouldn't do this anywhere anyone's nose. We would talk to Thorn, we would talk to Lunavella, and we would get this thing approved.
Do you remember what Max's last name was? I wonder if I've read anything that they've written.
Let me flip for Josepha. Whoa. Jordan did not shuffle this deck well, because Josepha just fucking destroyed. Yes, their name was Max Harrington.
Vellum looks shocked.
Is that bad?
I can't say that I've heard of Max Harrington, but the fact that they have very similar schematics is concerning. My uncle's name is Gray Harrington.
Oh. Oh. I mean, is that concerning? Says maybe they have a relative?
I would have thought that I would know this. I mean, I've been with Gray since I was little. She raised me. I thought I'd met all the family that we had.
And Josepha kind of puts a hand to her forehead and is like, oh, I did not mean for this to be bad. I'm sure there's a perfectly logical explanation. Oh boy.
When did Max disappear?
When did Max disappear? Maybe like 15 days ago, thereabouts.
Was it the same day that we got there?
No.
Okay.
Was that out of character? Is that before?
A couple days before Kurt disappeared.
It could truly be a very, very strange coincidence, but
that's looking less likely, if I'm being honest.
I believe I have some very serious questions to ask my uncle.
Well, we're about to be in a city full of phones, so this might be a good time to ask, if you're ready. Anyway, that's not really my business. Maram, you've been quiet.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, family business. That's not... I have plenty of my own family business. You know.
Right. You don't... Okay.
When did Max come to Clovenheart?
Maybe like 3 months ago? Okay, well... Josepha, like, puts the binder under the table and is like, we can put a pin in that. Oh, wait. Takes the binder out of the table and takes a page out of it. A couple pages out of it. And says, is there something I'd like to give you that will hopefully not be emotionally difficult?
Spar looks alarmed.
And this is a gift for, well, either of you, but I imagine it's more up Venlem's alley.
Mm-hmm.
It's schematics for something that I was working on when I was in academia. I have an old workshop that I rented out of the constabulary in Cindershore. A lot of materials that I left behind there, frankly. And she shows it to you. And she says, this is called Triple Threat. That's my little name for it. I was on drugs when I named it, I will be honest. When I really conceived of it. And it is a pair of stiletto boots.
Excellent.
And like fingerless gloves.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, the exact design can be modified to suit your... This was for me. But perhaps, you know, this is not quite to your taste. Or perhaps it is. I do not know how you party, Vellum.
Vellum looks to Spar. Like, his face is just deadpan. Like, he's trying to look very serious. And he says, what do you think? Think I could rock those?
Spar blinks several times rapidly and says, I also don't know how you party, Agent Vellum.
No? Okay.
I did not say you of the two of us, you are the expert in fashion. I go where you lead.
Vellum nods.
The triple threat is like I said, pair of gloves and boots. And they have three different functions. And one of them is telekinesis. It allows you to have temporary telekinesis. Well, not even temporary, ongoing as long as it's active. Teleportation.
Oh.
Under a short distance teleportation. And the third T, Taekwondo.
Excellent.
Gives you, supernatural karate ability.
Well, you specifically said Taekwondo, so not karate.
Correct. Yes, you're right.
There is a big difference.
There is a difference. I meant to say martial arts ability. And so there's a little belt that goes with them. And the belt has three slots for arcane cores. For each arcane core inserted into the device, one of these abilities can be active at a time. So if you have one arcane core, you can only have one active at a time, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so it's got three slots for arcane cores?
Correct. So theoretically, if you had three, they could all be active at once.
Okay. Does it have one in it right now?
It's not built. This is schematics.
Oh, right. There we go.
Yep.
Spar looks at the schematics, which he can kind of make sense of, because, you know, mm-hmm. like, I'm sure Josepha has helpfully illustrated it with, like, bang and pow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yeah, you get this thing built and you won't have any use for me anymore.
I don't know about that.
I will retire peacefully to my life of ceramics garden, maybe. Aunt Hilde can teach me how to garden. I've always wanted to learn how to garden.
You're going to make a ceramic garden?
Yes.
That sounds quite lovely.
Josepha says, well, as you know, like any magic, there's risk and reward. Things can be volatile. Your personal strengths is a sure thing. So I would not retire just yet, unless it's what you want.
It happens.
Retirement?
Yes. You know, sometimes you wake up one day and you are retired. And
I don't think that's how retirement usually works. I don't think it usually happens to you.
Well, it sort of did to me, but then I found Clovenheart and I was like, oh, now I have a new happy life.
Right. Yeah,
I don't know that Merrim is going to find a new happy life in Clovenheart. Does it not seem like his MO, but maybe.
No, there are other cities in the world, Josepha.
Sweet. It's true.
I will retire to another city where I will have a ceramic garden.
Mm-hmm.
And no one will need me to punch anything anymore. I will have been fully replaced by magic.
I don't. No one could replace you.
Spar looks at the schematics again. He's like, I'm not so sure about that.
I mean, keep in mind, this was designed when I was on who knows what, like 80 years ago. So I would not be too worried about that.
Even if I do get this built, it does require some powerful components to power it, and we don't have any more of those at the moment. So you may not be able to retire just yet.
What I will say is that you can take the one from the radio and put it in here, and they can be moved back and forth.
Okay.
That just is a time-consuming process, so it can't be done on the fly, but it can be done.
Okay.
Anything else we want to do on the boat?
I don't think so. Like, make sure that Xochi and Joaquin don't get off the boat.
They're not gonna. No, you've done well. You've persuaded.
Okay.
But to that end, Spar, can you flip wit investigation?
Sure.
You'll see.
Wit is 4. Investigation is 4, I think, because that's what I always say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm healthy, so that's 4 and 4 is 8. 1 is 9.
Mm-hmm.
2 successes, an ace and a queen.
Okay, that is enough to spot waiting for this boat and seemingly intent on returning to Clovenheart is Brunhilde with a basket full of goods.
Oh.
Does Bar have enough time to duck down and tell the kids?
Mm-hmm.
He'll duck down and, like, stick his head in and be like, Hildy's on deck. I think she's coming back on board. Lay low.
They give you a thumbs up, and they appreciate that. Zoti says, luckily, I'm a master of stealth, so there should be no problem.
Spar just like a finger gun at him.
Okay.
Just one.
Just one. All right, I'm going to flip for, like, this is not, you guys aren't going to know what the result of this was, but I am going to flip to see what happens here.
No, I want to know. You should tell us.
No, I'm going to tell you, but I'm saying Spar and Velen won't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah, I don't care if my character knows.
I'm giving them an extra flip because of the fact that Spar was able to give them a heads up.
Mm-hmm. That'll counter their idiocy of being adolescents.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They successfully avoid Brunhilde's lack of suspicion, I guess. Because they got a one success and Brunhilde got none. So.
All right.
I mean, she's probably not actively looking for them, right? Like, she doesn't have a reason to suspect they're on this ship, so. But anyway, I do want to play. Do you acknowledge Brunhilde at all?
So the thing is, we are doing a faux, we are arresting Tati.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So Spar will be able to give Brunhilde, like, a little bit of a nod as he's, like, marching Tatiana in the vague direction of the constabulary.
Okay. So I'm going to assume that, I mean, Anya gets off the ship too. Mm-hmm. So Brunhilde's going to chat up Anya for a second while you guys are heading out.
I think Velen is going to go with Spar and Tati.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Just in case Tati decides to try to pull something else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you guys flip charm or presence and performance to sell this act of, like, Tatiana escaping?
Okay. Charm and presence are both two for me. Performance is none.
What about panache?
Panache is fine.
Okay.
Do I have a bonus to charm from bridge?
Yes.
What was that? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'll do charm. So that's 3 and perform is 0 and healthy is 1. Mm-hmm. So 4.
4.
Mm-hmm. I am doing 3 presence, 2 panache, 1 healthy. So that's 6.
Okay.
2 successes, a queen and an ace.
Oof.
Nice.
I got a joker.
Great.
And that's all.
Great. You know what I realized?
Mm-hmm.
Tati also needs to flip for this.
Oh, good.
Well, luckily perform is one of the things she's good at.
Okay.
She's just bad at lying.
Yes. So for Tati, this is going to be 2 charm, 2 perform, 1 healthy, so 5 cards.
Oh, wait, let me flip one more card because eclectic. And it's nothing. Okay. I tried.
Okay. Tati got 1 success, which is a queen of hearts, which is actually 3 successes.
Yay. You know why? It's because Spar and Tati have done this before.
So what exactly does this look like?
Okay. How tall is Tati?
How tall is Tati? I imagine she's kind of small, like 5'3".
Okay, and Spar's around 5'8", so there's like a 5-inch height difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's one of those where he is walking her ahead of him, like he has her hands behind her back and is like marching her forward. And once they are in what Spar thinks is a clear enough spot, he taps her on the, like, underside of her wrist twice to be like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if she agrees, she'll turn and duck and go under his arm and sprint in a direction.
Okay. That is done.
Velen attempts to look like he's chasing after her, but trips because he jokered.
That is a perfect joker. Yeah. And then the few bystanders there are run to, like, help Velen up as opposed to, like, trying to citizens arrest Tati. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think he either would have let her go, like, if she's got, like, a clear shot to an alleyway, or in a dense crowd so she can lose anybody in the crowd, especially since she's a shapeshifter.
Yeah. Let's go dense crowd. Mm-hmm. And if people rush over to Vellum, I want to see actually if Vellum, because Vellum did Joker. Yeah. So I'm going to see if Vellum takes damage from this fall.
Oh, no.
Nope. You're good.
Okay, cool.
Uh-huh.
Sparneel's down next to him, partly to help him up, and is like, great distraction.
Vellum nods seriously, like, yep, planned it that way.
So let me set the scene a little bit. So we're in Cindershore, which I've described before. It's a very blocky city overlooking a beach. It's sort of like on an upward incline because there is a cliff overlooking the beach. In fact, that's actually one of your destinations today, I assume, is Cliffside Inn, which is literally built on the top of the cliff overlooking the beach. The city's heavily decorated for the Passion Fruit Festival in 2 days, which means there's a lot of pink everywhere. There's like banners hanging from things that say, like, you know, various love is forever type phrases. There's also like people planting fruit trees in the more green parts of the city. Like, it's just, it's all very lively.
Passion fruits are yellow inside.
Yeah. But pink is like,
there can be pinks and yellows. Like, that can be like the two predominant.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's sort of the scene. So I'll imagine maybe you guys were near a park where some of this tree planting is happening.
Mm-hmm.
When all this happens. And Anya and Carnation catch up to the two of you as Aphrodite gets away.
And Spar turns to Anya and goes, oh no, a criminal has escaped our clutches once more.
Do you think Tanya was, or Tanya, I can combine their names.
That's their ship name.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you think Anya is aware of this plan?
What was Anya doing on the boat? She was chatting with Tati for a while, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, sure. Well, you'll get them next time.
Usually they get me.
Is that how it works?
With Tatiana.
Hmm.
I mean, that criminal.
She laughs and is like, I didn't ask what your bedroom life is like, Agent Felspar.
Yeah, neither did she.
Wow, wow, wow. All right. Anya says, hey, your aunt got you something in the... So she's doing Josepha's usual duty of buying things for the town.
Mm-hmm.
She got you something. What did we say Spar's favorite snack was?
Taiyaki.
Taiyaki, that's right.
Which is like a little pastry... In IRL, it's a little pastry fishy.
Mm-hmm. Filled with stuffs like red bean paste or chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Something sweet. And sometimes you can get them with ice cream, like in the shape of fish with their mouths open. You can pile ice cream in so it looks like the fishy's kind of eating the ice cream.
Yeah, it's definitely that one.
Adorable.
You mentioned the idea of there being a little plastic, like a little fake sword in it too.
Yeah, because the fish in Cindershore are tough, like everyone else in Cindershore.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Perfect. It's a sword-wielding fish with ice cream.
Amazing. Is the sword like a utensil to eat it with?
Yes, it is now.
It's a little spoon.
Okay.
Yeah, and so Anya hands one to you, and it's Bar, and one to Vellum, and has one for herself.
Oh. How delightful. I don't think I've ever had one of these.
I always feel a little weird eating them because, you know, they're shaped like an animal. And that's it's like in Clovenheart, we don't eat animals. But damn, they're so good. I just can't stop.
Anya's like, you can close your eyes and imagine, which is basically what I do when I eat them.
But you can still feel the scales. You know, Anya, you know it's a fish.
I have plausible deniability. This wouldn't hold up in court.
Well, fortunately, I'm not the lawyer, so I think you're safe for now, Ms. Whittlesby.
Yeah, you guys enjoy some taiyaki and get a +1 to, it's like a coffee card, a +1 to FLB your choice sometime soon.
Excellent.
Yay, thank you.
Sometime in this recording. Mm-hmm. So yeah, what's on the to-do list here? I know your ultimate goal is to, well, talk to Diamond here. That's why you came to Cindershore. But you are in a town for the first time in a couple of days, so anything you want to do is good with me.
Okay. So out of character list, way back in the day, back in episode one. Mm-hmm. Jordan, I think you said that phones only work inside in Intertown, but radio goes farther.
Correct.
So I want to radio back to Suit's headquarters and see if anybody knows anything about Jack.
Okay.
I want to connect with Ishbala, my usual partner who is around, and just make sure that she just happened to be here and that there isn't, like, she's not trying to communicate something or... I think those are the two things, aside from Diamond, that Spar wants to do.
And take Vellum to a shooting range?
Yes, yes, and take Vellum to a shooting range, yeah.
I think other than that, Vellum might peek his head into a store to see if they happen to have any components that he might be able to tinker with, either for the radio or for the new schematics that Josepha gave him.
So, sorry, Josepha would have also given you the key to her warehouse and the constabulary.
Ooh.
So you have access to that.
Vellum's going to have a good time.
Mm-hmm. That's the plan. So where are we going first?
While we're here, did you want to try to make contact with your uncle?
That is a excellent idea, yes. While I reach out to Gray, do you want to contact Suits?
Yeah, I want to try to touch base with Ishbala first, just to make sure.
Okay.
Stay together or split up? Stay together.
Okay.
Anya's going to say, do you mind if I stick around? I don't really have plans here other than interrogating a pop star.
Yeah, you are more than welcome, as long as you promise you're not going to try to take Agent Vellum's blood. Then you're more than welcome to stay.
I promise.
It sounds like a odd request, but trust me, it's come up more than you would have thought.
Yeah, I promise. And unlike other exes you've encountered today, my promises mean something.
Damn. Anya already throwing shade at Tati. I thought they were getting along well.
More at Spar, actually.
Maybe.
So, Jordan...
It was an area of effect shape. Sorry, go ahead.
Would Suits have like an outpost or a satellite office, or would it be the constabulary that we would go to for, if we needed like desk space for official stuff?
Probably. I think that.
Okay. Does Ishbala have a place where she usually stays when she's in town?
It's a good question.
Because Cinder Shore is close, right? It was only like...
Like an hour train hours. Right away. Yeah. Hour and a half, I think, train right away.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, we'll say maybe there is a little inn, like closer to like a motel style place that is close to the constabulary that like they offer to like pay some of the fee to host up Suits agents is like their solution to not really having built a satellite site. I think anywhere outside of Austin Metairie yet, but like they have a local law enforcement will help them out sometimes. ACAB, so we steal their money to put our agents up.
Yep. Yes, and once again affirming on Mike that like Suits is not cops, they are investigators and have no interest in putting anybody in jail.
Correct.
Even more criminals.
I think the cops are like a necessary evil of Suits' operation, but like they try not to interact with them as much as possible. But like a lot of times there is crossover between what the cops do and what Suits do, so.
Okay, so let's go to the motel first. And Spar will, like, go into the front office and ask, does she go by Agent Ishbala? Does she have a different... Does she go by her last name?
I imagine, like, this is a mononym situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does she use Agent or does she just go by Ishbala?
Agent's fine, yeah.
Okay.
Trying to think of a cute name for this inn.
Okay. Can I hit you with Bee by the Sea and Swumblebee themed?
I love that. I was gonna say bric-a-brac because it's just a very drab motel made of brick, but
also good.
I like the bumblebee.
It doesn't have to be drab. It can just be like the closest, and like maybe it's just super small.
Yeah. No. Bee by the Sea is the winner here. be by the sea. Okay.
My name is S.A. You can find me online at E-S-S-A-Y, Hex, H-E-X, mostly on Twitter. I use she, her pronouns, and I play Agent Felspar, who uses he, him pronouns. And let's see, we're going to share a fun fact of our, of each of our characters to help you get to know them so they can be cozy friends of yours. Unlike what Spar's sister would have you believe, he does have friends that he doesn't work with.
That he isn't related to.
They might not know his real name.
Yeah, we met Jakob.
Yeah. That he's not related to and he's not sleeping with. Okay. They exist.
Okay.
That's my Spar fact for this week.
Sounds good. Yeah, I don't know that Sorrel accused Spar by having friends. Sorrel says she doesn't have friends that aren't Spar's friends.
I think she's accused Spar of not having friends who he doesn't work with.
Mm, okay, that's fair.
That sounds about right.
Or maybe Anya. No, yeah, it must have been Sorrel.
It probably was Sorrel. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying she doesn't believe that. I just don't remember saying it. All right, Ela.
Hello, it's me, Ela Alexi. You can find me online at Ela Alexi. I use they and he pronouns, and I play Agent Cowlin Vellum, who also uses he and they pronouns. Agent Vellum fun fact, he has written a symphony. I don't know if it's been performed ever, but he's a strange man, very much a nerd, keeps to himself. What does he do to keep busy? He does all sorts of crazy shit.
Is there a theme to the symphony? Like, is it about something?
I think it's about a longing for someone or for some place, to feel like you belong somewhere. You know, being a trans person and not having his parents around, he definitely has some sense of loss in his mm-hmm. life. And I think driven by those feelings and emotions, he wrote this 1 year over the summer, maybe. I don't know how long it takes to write a symphony. Maybe over a few summers while he was on a break from college or something.
I love it. I love it. I really hope this gets performed someday.
Me too.
Hey, I'm Jordan Quiverance. I'm the GM / wingman / host of this podcast, and I play a lot of the characters. My pronouns are they, them. Did I say that already?
Nope.
My pronouns are they, them, and I didn't say that already. Except now I have said it already.
Do you have a fun fact about you or about the world or about any of the NPCs? I'll accept any of these.
Great. Yeah, so I was going to... Hold on. I got to find this. This is an old fact. I wrote a fact about Cindershore a long time ago. Okay, Cindershore has the highest population of people who can do perfect backflips in the world of Bicycle. However, nobody shares this info, so this fact is unreported. So it's not like in the Guinness Book of World Records that, like, you know, Cindershore has this weird fact, but it is true.
Is there like an underground backflip association where, like, if you really want to know how to backflip, like, somebody would be like, come to Cindershore.
No, that's
knock on this door.
That's the tragic reality, because they are actually also the only major town in Bicycle that doesn't have a gymnastics team. Like, this is just a totally unknown fact to the people of Cindershore.
So, like, everyone can do backflips, but they don't know that everyone else can do backflips.
That's correct, yes.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Tragedy.
I mean, not everyone, but a higher population than anywhere else in the world.
We need to do some recruiting, it sounds like.
Yeah. I really hope that one day, this could be season 2, guys, is about the Cindershore backflip scene. It's like it's like a Footloose, but it's about backflips.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Excellent.
All right, everyone, thanks for listening to the episode. We're going to get back to it now. Mwah.
Do-do-do-do. Uh-huh. As we always end the metros with a kiss
and a do-do-do.
And a song.
So Ishbala is staying at B by the Sea, a motel across from the constabulary and not far from the beach, hence the name, and it's also entirely bee themed. There's a bee on the logo. It's painted yellow and black. They serve honey with all of their meals.
A honey lavender latte.
All of their rooms are called hives instead of rooms. They really go in on this.
I'm imagining the bee in the logo is like the bee on Louis Zong's B-Sides album. Just a fat, chunky little bee.
Correct. And also the people who do room service, they do have to wear bee costumes.
Adorable. Mm-hmm.
They don't think so, probably.
Instead of picturing like actual bee costumes, I'm picturing like bee-themed, like maid and floofy outfits.
Like maybe they can just wear like bee colored aprons. We don't have to be mean to these imaginary service workers.
You're right, but can it be aprons? But they do have little wings coming out of the back.
Yes.
All right.
And if you actually have little wings, then you don't have to wear the fake ones.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. I was gonna say that would be a hard job for a pixie, but there are pixie sized rooms, I'm sure, so they can do those rooms. Mm-hmm. Or they can tag team a human-sized room if they really believe in themselves.
Yeah, you get a pixie and a giant together.
Giant has a hard time fitting in the motel, I think.
Yeah, it's bad for everybody.
Giant has a hard time servicing the pixie-sized rooms.
Oh, really hard time. They have to get in there with tweezers, like, through the window, and just, like, that's how they're cleaning things. Okay. So anyway, Spar, you're going to go find Ishbala.
I'll check in at the front desk and ask, is Agent Ishbala staying here? And show my badge.
Vellum also shows his badge.
Okay, yeah, the halfling working behind the front desk, like, nods and goes, I don't know if I'm allowed to disclose that, actually.
Hold on, let me ask. Cool, so I'll take it she's in the regular room, he
says. No, hold on, let me ask my manager real quick, okay? I don't want to get in trouble.
He nods and waits for the person to leave.
Yeah, they do that.
He goes to the room that they set aside.
Yeah.
Vellum will stay at the front desk to talk to the guy when he comes back.
No, you guys actually see Ishbala walking into the lobby at the same time.
Oh, so okay.
You guys would both know Ishbala from work. Obviously, Spar knows her better. She is a crocodilian, which means she's like a human, vaguely humanoid crocodile. I think, as I said, they have an 80-20 split on crocodile to human.
Yeah, mostly crocodile, but like human enough to like walk on two leggies, mm-hmm, and not have to have T-Rex arms.
Right. Aww. And she has a little wig of like black hair and has a nose ring and generally has like kind of a punky aesthetic going for her.
What's her name? Bee? From Night in the Woods?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. I was like, what's Night in the Woods? Yes, yes. Oh my god. I accidentally stole this
character. Did a video game reference.
I know, and Jordan didn't get it for a second.
Essay has played one video games.
Okay, and here's the thing. I didn't go to Night in the Woods because I'm like, I wouldn't have thought video game from Essay, you know? that's a video game with, like, major Essay energy, though, so that tracks.
Yeah, well, and I made somebody else do the base mini games, so.
Gotcha.
I didn't have to actually press many buttons.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
This is an official plug for Night in the Woods.
It's got good vibes.
It's got good vibes. Anyway, yeah, Ishbala sees you and is like, I don't think she would be too enthusiastic. Hold on, let me get into Ishbala. Hey, Spar! Agent, what's this guy's name? Hold on, don't tell me.
Spar, like, have opened his mouth and then wait patiently.
All right, let me flip to see if she remembers Velen's name.
If she doesn't, she should come up with something like parchment or window or
papyrus.
She got one success in a joker, so I think this means she's gonna be like off in a funny way. Hold on.
It's me, Agent Papyrus.
Agent- wait, wait. What if she knows him by a name he went undercover by once?
Ooh. Oh, that's fun.
I don't know why, but came to mind was Velvet.
Oh, Agent Smooth Velvet. Is that right?
Spar is like, yeah, it sure is.
Velum lets out a surprise chuckle. I don't think...
But more importantly, Agent My Replacement? What the hell is going on, dude?
I don't think anyone's called me Smooth Velvet, but it tracks. My name is Kaolin Velum. It is a pleasure to see you again. I am not sure why I was assigned to go with Spar on this mission. It was not my choice. Not that I haven't enjoyed it. Yes, I do not know why.
He's my tech.
I don't think I am a permanent replacement.
If you knew how to work a radio, then you wouldn't have been replaced.
Fuck. My Achilles heel comes for me again.
Every time.
Every
you
time.
And those radios.
Me and those radios.
Have you met Ms. Anya Whittlesby? Esquire? Does she have an Esquire?
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Anya Whittlesby, Esquire.
I definitely think of that. Like, Ishbala, like, looks at you and then at Anya and is like, no, I haven't. It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance.
He's doing complicated eyebrow things at Ishbala that's like, nope. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. Nope.
And, yeah, Anya, for sure, yeah, says, likewise, a pleasure to meet a friend of Spar's. So Ishbala says, so what are we doing? Is the mission over? Did we do it? Do we get him? I don't know what the mission is, but...
It's a complicated case. It led us here, which is why we're here.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
What am I doing here? I just brought your sister here.
Okay. I just, have you... Do you want to go? Do you want to go back to the room?
Yeah, actually, I was going to get dinner.
Sure, but maybe somewhere private?
Okay, we can call room service to dinner in the room.
Okay.
Great. So we get set up in Ishbala's room. There are, like, little hexagons all over the walls that's, like, to have, like, the hive aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
But just a regular bed and stuff. Everyone takes a seat? Okay. I mean, there's... Yeah.
Yes. So, okay. So I imagine it's two single beds, because, right, agents often come in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
And a desk and a chair.
Mm-hmm.
And so Spar will let everybody else, like, sit in the stuff, and then we'll sort of perch on the edge of the desk.
Okay.
So one person sitting on one bed, one person sitting on the other bed, one person in the chair, I assume.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe y'all are going to mix it up on me.
Yeah, I think each ball is sitting on the edge of her bed.
I think Velum will go for the chair.
Okay. Anya sits on the opposite bed, and each ball is like, Can your pig get up on the bed? To Anya. And Anya's like, if that's okay with you, that's okay with me. And then, yeah, Ishbala beckons for Carnation to get up on her bed. And Carnation does.
So not on Anya's bed, but on Ishbala's bed?
Mm-hmm. Ishbala wants to pet the pig.
Aww.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, and does so. Says, yeah, what's going on? I mean, this is all weird shit. Like, we were supposed to, like, work on a case together, and then suddenly you're gone and I had to wrap it by myself. By the way, it was the college kids pulling a prank. There wasn't really levitating frogs. It was bullshit.
It's always the frogs with them. It's always
the frogs with them.
How are things back home? How are things? Ishbala, things. The things, how are they?
Thinking about me personally, because my life hasn't changed at all, and I love that about it.
No, that's great. I love that for you. You are thriving. I was thinking more in a professional capacity.
Pretty much the same. Why?
Have you seen
recently?
Yes, that's exactly what Velum was about to say.
I mean, I usually don't. So no, but like not in a weird way.
How about Gregans?
Yeah, I mean, I see Gregans all the time.
Seem regular.
I think he has a crush on me, if I'm being honest.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, that's true. I'm pretty hot. Does Gregans seem weird? Gregans always looks weird.
No, but like for Gregans, does he seem under unusual amounts of stress or like he's acting suspicious? If you were to perhaps flip insight on Gregans, what do you think?
I'm already on an essay. I shuffled so badly, guys. That's none successes for Ishbala. So she says, I'm sorry. I really don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, Gregans is a nice guy, but normally I try to end our conversation as quickly as possible.
I mean, you've got to get out of there before he starts handing you more binders. And then, you know, when you're like, oh, where am I going to put this binder? And you end up just putting it on the stack of your other binders that Gregans has handed you. Are there any other teams out on Hush Hush stuff?
No, I don't think so. No. Like, you're the only weird thing going on right now. And I'm a little jealous, honestly.
Ooh, don't be.
Are you okay? I mean, I know it's in Clovenheart, which is, I mean, obviously why you got sent, I assume. But how's that going? She, like, can't help herself but look at Anya when she says that and then looks back to Spar.
He gives her a thumbs up. And for Anya's benefit, says, I'm giving a thumbs up.
Okay. Can I know? Is the case, like, so top secret I can't know about it? Like, what's going on?
He has the urge to cover Anya's ears, but that's obviously inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And then he thinks about writing it down, but by this point he realizes he's thinking so hard that, like, Anya probably already knows. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he does, he goes on a whole face journey. And says, it's dangerous. And I think it's better to keep as few people involved as possible.
Okay. Interesting. But it's me. Have I already been replaced by this guy?
I'm so sorry. I keep telling you, you've got to learn how to work a radio and you never listen. This guy, he's got a magic radio.
It's true.
That's like two steps ahead of me.
It's so many steps.
Yeah.
I promise I will tell you everything as soon as I can.
I feel like this is problematic and you're going to get canceled. And here's why. Two generations ago, my family was like living in a swamp.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking amazing that I can operate a car.
Mm-hmm.
Or use a typewriter.
Mm-hmm.
And you're coming on me and say, on top of that, can you also do a radio?
Check it out. My sword's a ghost now. And he draws his sword and offers it to her.
She waves her hand through it and like totally forgets the previous conversation immediately. It's like, holy fuck.
Right?
Is that okay? Do you like this? I like it.
You know, it's still pretty new. I'm getting used to it.
Yeah, okay, okay. I bet.
Yeah.
Is it noisy?
No, not really, no.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's the kind of shit that's going on. So, even you, I gotta keep a man on the outside.
All right. Well, I guess that's fine. Is there anything I can do of value?
He looks at Vellum and then looks back at Ishbala and says, I think Jack is missing.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Did Spar tell Vellum about the note?
Yeah, they were going through their luggage at the same time.
Okay.
I think he would have brought it for Ishbala to look at.
I say, can you flip? We'll save this for a less tense moment. Never mind.
No,
it is so important that I forgot it. So we got to address this. Can you flip wit investigation for me?
Sure. Wits 4, investigation is 4. Healthy is 1, that makes 9. Is it about someone?
No.
Okay.
But actually, I do think it makes sense for you to get your extra 1, so flip 10.
Okay, that's a 3 of hearts, ace, and a king. It is the podcast. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think 6. Because my crit is currently 4 with my charm bonus.
Okay. Holy fuck. Okay. So you notice. I feel bad that you did so good on a thing that's a joke, but you notice. Finally. Maybe you've been distracted by everything going on before now. That Ishbala is wearing your tie.
Oh, snap.
Spar narrows his eyes and says, so. Nothing new with you, huh? You haven't gone clothes shopping recently?
Oh, yeah. I actually did go clothes shopping, yeah.
Uh-huh. In my luggage? Did you take anything else?
No.
What's insight? Empathy? Wit empathy?
Yeah.
4 and 4 is 8. Healthy is 9. Ishbala is 10.
Wait, I'm gonna like, you got so high, I'm gonna let you know on the last one. Like, no, she doesn't appear to be lying. No. Okay. And honestly, it looks like that was something I need to bring up. Thanks. Like, it looked like someone had gone through your luggage before I got there, but like, it could have been you, right? Like, I don't know what the state your luggage was in.
You know how I pack. You know it wasn't me.
Well, maybe you need to get something. I heard there was like an attack on the train.
Agent Spar, what I'm learning is that apparently everyone finds you so fashionable that they try to rifle through your luggage. First it was Tati, and now Ishbala. How many people have had their hands in your luggage?
A gentleman never tells.
Wait, Tatiana stole from your luggage? I mean, that's not surprising.
Yeah, oh, that's, yes. Are you busy? Do you have, like, a case that you care about right now?
I care about all my cases equally as a dutiful agent of suits, but what's up?
Would you mind just kind of keeping an eye on Tati? There's some stuff.
You know she's hard to keep an eye on because she can look like different people. Did you know that about her?
She always sounds the same, though.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do my best. So keep an ear on her.
Yes. Eyes when you can. But, yeah. She keeps, do you know any, has there been...
She keeps attacking me, for one.
Yeah, that. And showing up in places where she oughtn't to be. Do you know anything about any reason that somebody would need blood for, like, research or magic or gang stuff or, I don't know, something arcane? Is there any chatter, anything like that you've heard?
Let's find out. Jordan's trying this new thing where they flip for NPCs some more. So that is a joker and a crit for Ishbala.
Dang.
2 successes and a joker. Gonna say, I mean, yes and no. I know about people being hired to take blood.
Go on.
Not because I'm clean. You know, Spar can vouch for me. I'm clean as a whistle. Shower every day.
Scrubs the moss out of her scales at least once a week.
At least. And that's on like a week where I'm just like feeling kind of low, you know? But usually it's 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's true.
So, I don't genuinely approve of cops, okay? But I have a friend who's a cop, and they said they're doing some digging on a really old case with confidential victims.
However, someone stole the information on the confidential victims. We don't know who. We don't know why. However,
when was it stolen? Do you know?
Let me do some math real quick. That was actually Jordan. Maybe 3 months back.
Okay.
Why? Well, wait. I don't know why. Because someone's trying to steal your blood. I don't know if you were one of the confidential victims, but that's... Were you a victim of a crime? Sorry, that's a personal question, but it does seem relevant.
Spar's going to interrupt. How old is the crime?
30-ish years.
I don't know if it's a confidential case, but my parents were attacked and died about 30 years ago.
Anya's going to lean forward. Oh my god. Wait. I don't know what it all means yet, but Vellum. Okay, in your case, all the victims were kept confidential. I'm sure you were too young to sign any paperwork like that, but on your behalf, paperwork was signed to keep your name confidential, as well as... Here's the thing. You were not the only victim of Naomi, the werelion. There was a string of attacks over the next few months. So basically, a few months later, she was found in hiding and was killed by a jumpy police officer who was afraid of her transforming into a werelion, which she did not do. And all of her attacks were on full moons. She was just losing control of her alteration. Anyway, I'm not here to pass judgment. There's another confidential victim of one of her attacks. I really shouldn't be saying this, but we're really beyond the... It's relevant. Sekatan was a victim of her attack. Presumably... Vellum, were you injured in your attack?
Wait, did Sekatan become a werelion because of that?
Yes.
Oh.
Vellum, were you injured in your attack?
Yes.
Because the police reports indicate otherwise. Again, I've worked on this pretty extensively. I've read those reports. And I wonder, you're the only victim who didn't develop an alteration as a result of her attacks. Does your blood in some way resist alteration?
Vellum is just, like, speechless. I don't think he'd ever really looked into the case because he was worried to bring up those memories and to feel that vulnerable.
Yeah, totally understandable.
And I don't think he would have known that it said he hadn't been attacked when in fact he had. So I think right now he's just kind of shocked and flabbergasted that the report is incorrect and at what Anya is implying. I don't know. He's just kind of like staring at his hands.
Spar will go over to him and put his hand on one of Vellum's forearms. Say, hey, you're okay. You're here. You're in the bee by the sea. It smells like honey.
Anya says, I'm sorry, Vellum. I didn't want to bring any of this up, but it seems important at this point.
If there's some reason that's preventing me from being affected the way that Sekatan was, I can certainly understand people being curious about my blood, he says. And he's frustrated because if he'd known about this sooner, maybe he would have tried to do some experiments himself. Maybe he would have handled the situations in which people tried to get his blood differently. You know, he's going through the different stages of grief, of denial, of being angry, you know, all those kind of feelings.
I have a question, Jordan. What does Vellum sound like to Spar?
He's not magical.
Not magical. Okay.
No, I would have brought that up by now.
Well, I wasn't sure also if it was a third option where he's neither magical nor non-magical, right? Like his mom's sword sounds like his mom, which isn't magic nor non-magic.
Yeah. Yeah, no, not like that.
Okay.
And Anya's going to say, Spar, you wanted to take Cowan shooting. Maybe that could be good for him right now. Ishbala and I can get out of your hair.
Yeah, we'll go. Come on, Vel, we'll go. Go outside. The fresh air will be good for you.
Vellum nods and stands up.
Spar tucks his arm through Vellum's non-cane arm, so they're walking arm in arm.
And as you leave, Ishbal will say, I'll just be here with my best friend's ex, breaking out a notebook of questions I've been holding on to for a very long time.
He throws a middle finger up back towards Ishbala.
Beautiful.
Anya laughs. Okay. Do we want to go shooting?
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you guys talk at all on the way to the constabulary? Are you guys talking about it? Are we just pressing things? What's going on?
I think Vellum's pretty quiet. I don't think he really wants to talk about it more right now, but he would welcome Spar talking, whether that's like a funny story when he and Sorrel were growing up or whatever, a case that he and Ishbala were on.
So they're right by the constabulary. So I think that they go and kind of check in. And the last time they were there, specified that Spar got whatever the practice rounds are in this world. So hopefully that's just kind of like a breeze through. We'll be out there.
Super easy this time. Do you guys make any mention of the workshop?
Because it's in the...
It's in the constabulary.
I think not right now. I think...
Okay, just wondering. I'm just letting you know it'll be super easy to do at any point you guys want to access the workshop. It's not a pain. The end.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's Velen's thing. So Spar's not going to give him another thing to do or think about right now. So I think Spar drags him out to the practice field and is talking him through getting set up. I'm sure there's ear protection and eye protection. Talks about what all of these things are. And for each one, he has a story about a time that it went horribly wrong.
Oh, no.
Mostly they're stories about a time that somebody accidentally shot him. with practice run. Hurts. It's like getting shot with a paintball, right? Bruised badly. And then the times that when he and Ishbala were training together, he's pretty sure that she was shooting him on purpose.
Most likely.
In some kind of hazing ritual. Then he's not sure if it counts as hazing, if it's just one person doing it.
That's bullying. It's like Uncle Jossie's vibe checks. She's just she shoots, he's like, should have been ready.
Well, she should have learned how to do magic.
I think Vellum will chat with Spar, saying, you and Ishbala seem to get along fairly well. How long have you worked with her?
Gosh, I don't know. We started around the same time. I think, so let's see, let's count backwards here. 5 or 10, so almost 10 years, I think, we've been paired on and off. Field agents, they like to put us in pairs. You know, it's good to know that somebody has your back. It's good to know, and he puts a gun in Phelim's hand and says, it's good to know that you're with someone who can protect you.
Phelim nods.
You can't be everywhere at once, all the time. And so, you know, when you get along well with somebody and you trust them and they haven't turned out to be some kind of double agent or, I don't know, the sorcerer of some kind or frog levitator, then when you got a good one, you keep them. And Ishbala has taken arrows and swords and bullets for me, and I've jumped in front of cars and also bullets and fewer arrows for her. Arrows kind of bounce off of her, so I'm not entirely sure that it's equal, but it's the spirit that matters. She's good. I trust her. As long as she's not secretly Tatiana.
I think if she were Tatiana, she would have tried to steal my blood again by now.
Or kiss me. Those are sort of her two moves.
Phelim was surprised for a second there because he thought Spar was saying to kiss him.
Spar would kiss back.
He blushes and tries to focus on shooting because he has complicated feelings.
We get the classic vision of like Spar correcting Vellum's stance, mm-hmm. standing behind him, having him breathe in and breathe out slowly.
Do you want to flip me a charm firearms to see how well you train Vellum?
Sure. Charm is 2, but I have a bonus currently that makes it 3. Firearms is 2. That's 5. Healthy is 6. Holy shit, I train him so good. 2 jacks and a king and a crit.
Wow.
Wait, is that 7 successes?
Okay, so the crit is 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, that is 7 successes.
Dang.
Please.
Ew, dang. Okay, yeah.
Do I get a bonus to firearms now?
Of course you do. Okay. Fuck. Yeah, go ahead and take a practice in firearms, Agent Phelim.
Ooh.
Dang.
Awesome. That is a lot of successes. Spar,
so many successes.
Really imparts that knowledge upon you. He cuts the spaceship of knowledge in half. And
with his gun.
With his gun. And yeah, Phelim is a good student and quickly picks up on shooting a gun. Phelim is good at everything, it turns out.
Phelim's good at everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just gotta let him practice and learn, and he likes to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Other people like were excited about Spar's return and are watching and are very impressed by his teaching.
Are they also impressed by the sexual tension between the two agents?
Oh, for sure. Someone's like, "Ooh, teach me next."
Notice me, senpai.
I think there's some beats between what Spar had said and then Spar teaching Phelim, and Phelim, you know, kind of reflecting,
mm-hmm.
and saying, like, as a techie, we usually keep fairly to ourselves unless it's an area that somebody else is more familiar with. It gets lonely sometimes. It's been very pleasant getting to work so closely with you, Agent Spar.
Spar, at this point, I think literally has his arms wrapped around Phil to help him shoot. And it's like, yes, I have also enjoyed working closely with you, Agent Phil.
Yeah. Can Vellum do a firearms flip and see how it go?
Yeah, agility firearms.
Okay. Agility is 1, firearms is 2. Added it to eclectic is another 1.
And you're healthy.
Oh, and I'm healthy. We got 2 jacks.
Nice. It is admirable. You do a good job hitting that target.
Yay. He smiles and kind of looks behind his shoulder at Spar like, I did it, you know, in his expression.
Spar kisses him.
Vellum kisses back.
Yay!
Yay! good times.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monoktola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, and Jordan Quivern as our host. We play a game called Space Kings, which is created by Real Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can learn more about it at spacekings.space. You can find Kevin online at Real Kevin Cole. Our intro music is Dogtective. Our midtro music is At Last a Piano, and our outro music is Ghost Plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found online at louiszong.bandcamp.com. Louis can be found elsewhere online at Everyday Louis. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast. Support us for any price you can afford and receive access to all perks, including gag reels and the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and short stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
I have returned, but Essay and Jordan have not. I'm all by myself, just me and the microphone and you, dear listeners. This is a secret podcast within a podcast that nobody else knows about. Just me and you.
I'm here.
And Jordan's here now.
Yeah.
Joining me on my secret podcast within a podcast.
Mm-hmm. What's happening? Did I miss any important plot?
No, I was just vamping.
You're just vamping. Okay.
Yeah. I was going to start a secret pod within the pod. It was just like me and the listeners. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You can keep doing that. I'll get out of your hair.